Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Good afternoon. Welcome in. The Huddle is on the air for Tuesday, the 12th of June. Glad you're with us. Greg McKinney, Richmond Weaver, and Lonzo. I'm back after just one day of jury duty this week. Got off easy this week.
Yeah. What'd you say to get off? Did you go crazy?
No, just didn't get picked.
Okay.
I look like a guy who would hang them high, I guess.
We thought you would be picked because you're that fatherly type figure.
No, they don't want that.
Wise, a lot of wisdom.
Yeah, we pretty much said you'd be the foreman. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
You know what? I didn't even get pulled out of the hat to be struck. So I wasn't struck. I just wasn't pulled out of the hat. So, you know, sometimes you're lucky.
Yeah, but you did your civic duty. You were there.
To my cohorts who are on juries this week, I apologize.
Were you allowed to be on your phone during this process?
He said, if your phone makes a noise, we will confiscate it and send it to the Supreme Court. Required by law to do that. Now, it didn't stop you from... I mean, people were texting during this long process.
But it just couldn't make noise.
But you better silence it or you're going to lose it. And nobody's did it. There were some making noise before he said that, and then they immediately stopped.
I just want to know if you were back there watching Netflix or something on your phone while the thing's going on.
Didn't do that, but I was texting and, you know,
yes,
looking at Facebook and all that stuff. I mean, look,
didn't have much else to do,
yeah,
right?
It's pretty boring. But they're serious about the phones making noise in the courtroom. So that's something that's a big no-no. Don't do that. Don't let your phone do that. Hey, we have plenty to get into today. We'll get to the Gamecocks' lack of performance last night, but the good season that they've had. We're going to hear from Mark Kingston, the coach, also Jacob Olson, one of their players, on the show today as college baseball for us comes to an end. I know we have the College World Series coming up, and we will talk about that because we have nothing else to talk about. This 6 weeks? I think once we hit August, we'll be in college football season. I know that.
Remember last year, though. Last year, the NBA was so good.
Yeah,
in
there
the
may
off
be some
season.
Good stuff like that.
Yeah, maybe we'll get lucky.
Yeah, don't you think there's going to be a lot of discussion about the NBA offseason this
no
year?
No question. We'll have a lot of that to talk about.
There'll be a ton with LeBron. It
but
all
as
hinges
far as
on him.
Games are concerned. NBA games over. Our local teams out of the College World Series. Now, we have the World Cup with no USA in it.
Yeah, that's exciting.
I have a poll up, by the way, you can go vote in. Twitter poll at ESPN Upstate. With the USA not in this year's World Cup, how much will you watch? And your options are, I can't call it up. Come back to me. A lot, some, or little or none? 70% little or none right now. 70.
That doesn't surprise
me. It just went up to 72% because I voted.
There you go. I mean, it's kind of hard to get pumped unless you're
very
just a
hard
soccer fan. If you're a soccer fan, and no Italy, right? Italy's kind of a big deal. I don't know. Just, you got to be a real soccer fan to enjoy the World Cup without the USA. And not a lot of people are saying that they're going to watch a lot of it. That starts Thursday, the FIFA World
Cup. Yeah, and I would imagine it's also geographically balanced as well. Here in the Southeast, even more so if the USA is not in it. But maybe out West, you'd probably get a little bit more interest in the Northwest.
Yeah.
You know, something like that. Maybe in the Northeast a little bit. But here in the Southeast, definitely not.
All right. Well, you can vote in our Twitter poll on the World Cup over the next 23 hours or so and cast your ballot at ESPN Upstate. We'll have three questions coming up today. We're going to talk about a few different things when it comes to that, including college baseball. We will also hear from Stephen A. Smith on where he thinks LeBron should go. Not where he thinks he is going, but where he should go. We'll have that for you coming up on the show. Check in on the Braves. I'm still alive.
Yes, you are. Just barely, though.
No movement.
Barely. I know.
So over the weekend.
It was a wash.
Yeah, it was a wash. They both won 2 out of 3 or lost 2 out of 3.
Lost 2 out of 3.
Yeah, lost 2 out of 3. Washington and the Braves. So they're right where they were. You guys may have a chance to get them back into first place because they play the Mets and the Nationals play the Yankees.
That's right.
Two different levels of competition.
Although, look what the Mets did to the Yankees. They shut them out
in
the last game of the series.
They did, but it was 2 out of 3 to the Yankees, wasn't it?
Over the
weekend in the Subway Series. So anyway, we'll update what's going on with that. Probably look ahead at the College World Series matchups and may even get into this new bowl game that's coming to South Carolina, to Myrtle Beach, and talk about whether anyone will care about that. But that news has been announced this week. All right, 844-477-3776. Oh, I also want to get into this T. Higgins car picture. Don't worry, Clemson fans, you're okay, but man, was that funny.
There's a lot of angst for a period of time, I can promise you.
It was an interesting weekend on social media because of that. Text line is 71307. Use the keyword ESPN. On Twitter, at ESPN Upstate. So both of you guys said the Gamecocks would win last night. Is that what y'all said?
We did.
We did.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. We thought the mojo was on their side, that they would be able to advance, keep the magic going. Survive in advance was our mantra.
Well, look, I mean, yeah, if you get through those first two pitchers that Arkansas has at 1-1, you're happy.
That's what we thought.
You're happy.
Yes.
But Ledzinski did not have it in the first inning last night, and it was over early.
Very early. All of a sudden, it's 7-0.
Yeah.
And that was it.
Five runs in the first. So ugly for the Gamecocks. Pitching and defense, surprising, because they're good defensively, and they weren't in this Super Regional. They were throwing it around everywhere, man. I mean, throwing it around everywhere. Not covering bases, just slinging it. But they have 4 errors, I think.
Yeah, a lot of mental breakdowns, which you didn't expect.
Right.
Considering, again, I thought they were going to be focused because they seemed to be able to rebound really well in game number 2. And Mark Kingston, I know he was pretty adamant that he basically guaranteed that the team would be ready in game 2. He didn't guarantee a win, but he guaranteed that they would bounce back and be ready. And sure enough, they were. And that's why I was surprised that they came out so flat in the pivotal game 3.
Yeah, their pitchers, some of the relief pitchers were burned up too. You could tell they didn't have their stuff. So it just started ugly and got uglier. 14-4, Arkansas advances to the College World Series. And South Carolina's season comes to an end. Here is Mark Kingston, Gamecock coach, after the loss last night.
Congratulations to Arkansas. Clearly one of the best teams in America. And they played probably their best baseball tonight, offensively, pitching-wise, defensively. So tip our cap to them. I think we had one heck of a season. Fell 9 innings short of where we wanted to go. And it's something we'll build on.
Coach, you just feel with Demarius having pitched and Sawyer that you just were kind of out of bullpen tonight and just out of arms?
Well, we thought the guys that we'd give the ball tonight would do the job. We just didn't. At the end of the day, we have confidence in our guys, and we have put them in roles to be successful, and tonight just was not our night. Everything we threw up there, they hit, and they hit hard. So, once again, sometimes you just have to give credit to a very good opponent.
Mark, what did you say to your team after the game?
I said I was extremely proud of them. A lot of things I said to them that I'd rather not repeat right now. But I told them I loved them. Told them I'm going to miss a lot of them. And I was really proud of everything that they did this year through the ups and downs. I don't want to expand on it too much because there's some things that you keep within that family. But proud is the proud and love are the two things that, you know, were the big summary of that meeting.
Yeah, almost getting emotional there is Mark Kingston as they came oh so close, one game short of getting to the College World Series in his first season. And when the Gamecocks were left for dead after that loss to Presbyterian a few weeks ago.
Yes.
Unbelievable
Great turnaround.
Yeah. Yeah, you got to be happy with that. The way South Carolina scored, a couple of runs on a wild pitch in the fourth inning, and then Jacob Olson, who we're going to hear from a little later in the show, he had 2 solo home runs. Of course, he's headed out as a senior, so his final appearance as a Gamecock, and he had the good game. But they were just never in it, and too many walks, too. They walked 6 guys. They keep hitting batters, 2 hit-by-pitches again in the game. put too many base runners on. And, man, can Arkansas stroke the ball, man.
Yes,
they can hit.
And that was what was indicative of game one, too. Had too many walks in game one. And it was just the opposite in game two, where Arkansas had too many walks. And it shows you just the – you can't put guys on base like that, make those type of mistakes getting players on base, and especially then Arkansas – you know, they obviously took advantage of it. And I was hoping South Carolina would at least score three more runs. I wanted to score, if it was going to end the way it was, at least 14-7.
Why?
That's a good football score. Yeah. Good SEC football score. Although that's very low scoring, though.
Yeah, a little bit low. Defensive battle for the SEC, yeah. So South Carolina wraps up at 37-26 for the year. But because they got to a super regional, it's a super successful year for them, right?
Of course.
Yeah. No matter what happened in the regular season.
And they've got to be on somewhat of a cloud nine. I know they didn't make it to the College World Series, but not many people thought that they actually would. And it's just the opposite for Clemson fans. It's winning, you know, almost 50 games.
Yep.
And you're probably viewing their season as a disappointment.
Yeah, we're going to talk about that in three questions. Because, you know, Mark Kingston got them to the Supers in his first year, and Monty hasn't yet.
Yet.
They keep losing at home in the regionals.
And when they should be favored to get there.
Yeah, yeah. And so how long, that'll be the discussion. We'll save it for 3 o'clock, three questions at 3. How long will Clemson fans go without really starting to complain about that? Or are they already doing that? Are they already unhappy because Clemson's taking such early exits out of the postseason after very successful regular seasons and after beating the Gamecocks in the regular season series last three years. 2 out of 3. So doing all that, doing everything right in the regular season, but it's not going to work to do this every year.
And that's why I always contend it doesn't matter necessarily about your in-state rival. It's how far you're advancing on the national landscape.
Yep.
That's what it boils down to. But there's a big contingency that people, especially in football, that hey, number one priority is you got to beat your in-state rival.
Mm.
I don't view it that small.
No.
Let's get to the national championship game. Let's get to the college football playoff. That's more important than beating the in-state rival. If you make it to those other things, more than likely you're beating your in-state rival.
Yeah, especially when that series is so early in the year in April. And
yes.
Just by the end of the season, you've kind of forgotten about it. I mean, you know, it's great, but it doesn't matter. So there's a little bit of grumbling. I've seen some of that around on social media about Clemson continuing to take the early exit, but we'll talk about that more coming up on 3 questions at 3. So at the College World Series, 8 teams there. North Carolina goes to their first College World Series since 2013. They swept Stetson in their Super Regional. Oregon State returns to the College World Series for the second consecutive season. They swept Minnesota, the Gophers, the Big Ten champions. Oregon State was tied in game 2 of those regionals before they got 3 runs in the 9th inning to secure their bid. The Washington Huskies went to 3 games with Cal State Fullerton. They won it in a walk-off in the bottom of the 10th. That's pretty dramatic. Washington's first College World Series appearance. Program history. How about that for the Huskies? Mississippi State, they will go. They went 3 games with Vanderbilt in the Super Regionals. They won in walk-off fashion in extra innings. It'll be Mississippi State's first College World Series appearance since 2015. The Texas Longhorns, I know a lot of people would like to have seen Tennessee Tech go as a Cinderella. And Texas lost game 1 to Tennessee Tech, but they won the next 2. So the first time in the College World Series in 4 years for the Longhorns, they are in. Another Texas team, Texas Tech, Red Raiders, they go to their 3rd College World Series in 5 years. They beat Duke in the Super Regionals in 3 games. Of course, Arkansas wins over the Gamecocks in 3 games in first return to first appearance in Omaha since 2015 for Arkansas. And the Florida Gators, my goodness, did you see that home run?
I did. Insane.
Yeah.
People need to go watch that.
They get the win over Auburn with a walk-off home run in the bottom of the 11th inning, and it hit the outfielder's glove and went over the fence.
And bounces over.
Mm. Wow. Yeah. So they return to Omaha. Of course, Florida's the defending national champion, and they came really close to being out against Auburn. Auburn played well. So the matchups that we have this weekend, Saturday we'll get Oregon State against North Carolina. at 2 o'clock. We'll get Washington against Mississippi State at 7 o'clock. Then on Sunday, we'll get Arkansas against Texas at 1 o'clock and Texas Tech against Florida at 6 o'clock. Those are your first game matchups this Saturday and Sunday in Omaha for this year's College World Series. 844-477-3776. Text line is 71307. You can get us on Twitter at ESPN Upstate. Did you see the picture making the rounds on social media of Clemson wide receiver T. Higgins over the weekend? We'll tell you that story when we come back. This is The Huddle on ESPN. We are back. It's The Huddle, ESPN Upstate, GMAC Richmond, Lonzo. 844-477-3776. Text line 71307. Use the keyword ESPN before your text message. Also, don't forget the radio.com app. That's the official new home of ESPN Upstate on your phone. Download radio.com and make us your favorite, ESPN Upstate. Then you can listen to us anytime, anywhere. Get that app and make us a favorite and take us along. Radio.com is the app, and you just do one search for us and then make us a favorite, and we'll pop up every time you open it up. And that's a great way to listen to The Huddle and all of ESPN Upstate when you're out and about, as long as you have the smartphone. And who doesn't, right?
I think everybody does.
My goodness. It's just crazy. Yeah, it was funny in court yesterday, just watching the phones out. Everybody got the phone attached to it and can't stay off of it.
Can't stay off of it. When I travel, even in airports, and not that I'm viewing and watching, but you can see people and they're going to the restroom,
mm-hmm.
and they're using the restroom and scrolling on their phone.
Sure.
Oh, yeah, just, I mean, it's...
Wait a minute.
It's crazy.
You said not that you're watching. There's only one way you could know,
yeah.
and that's well, if you're watching.
Corner of his eye, Lonzo.
Yes, exactly. Peripheral vision.
Okay.
Yes.
I was traveling up into Connecticut last week, and more than once, I almost got run over by somebody in the airport terminal, just walking down, looking at their phone, not watching where they're going, more than once.
It's amazing.
Just walked right almost into me.
My point is that you can take time... 30 to 45 seconds away from looking at your phone to use the restroom. And even my kids struggle with this. I will see them going to the refrigerator, opening the refrigerator, and they're reaching in the refrigerator while they're looking at their phone. They have no idea what they're reaching for, basically.
Just feeling around. Huh?
Exactly. But they can't take their eyes off of their phone.
Yeah.
And it's the same with adults as well. It's amazing how the phones have become a crutch.
There are a lot of opportunities for you to prank your children, is what I'm hearing.
Yes, there is. I could put some crazy stuff
you
in the refrigerator.
You need to put some stuff
right?
in the fridge and see what happens.
Yeah. Social media is a big part of that, of course, and social media kind of blew up a little bit regarding T. Higgins and Clemson over the weekend. Don't know if you saw, let's see, was it an Instagram or a tweet?
Yeah, I think it was a tweet.
Tweet, yeah, Twitter. A car company, local auto dealership, posted a picture of Clemson receiver T. Higgins standing beside a red sports car, and it said this: a big thanks to the number one ranked college-wide receiver, T. Higgins from Clemson, for coming to our business today to purchase a vehicle. The word is getting out that we are the place to come buy a vehicle without the fees. I'm leaving their names out just to protect them here. But you can find it.
You know, yeah, I'm looking at it right now. You can still find it. And this is the first time I've looked at it. Yeah, it looks like he just purchased that vehicle.
Yeah.
And look, his shoes match. I'm just saying.
He's got the red shoes. Well, here's the thing. The vehicle is a McLaren Spyder, $200,000 car. And it does, the way it's written, make it sound like he's buying that car.
Of course.
Getting
that car. It's very ambiguous. Yeah. Yes. And if you're looking at the picture and reading the context of the tweet, it makes it seem that he would be purchasing that vehicle.
Yeah.
Especially the way they're posed also, right beside it.
Yep.
And
they said he came here to buy a vehicle, and there he is standing with a vehicle. What are you supposed to think?
Exactly. And sure enough, there were a lot of people that thought,
oh my goodness,
that he bought that car.
Just went crazy. Well, it got the attention of the compliance office at Clemson.
Imagine that.
They sent a cease and desist to the dealership, and the dealership took down the post. And Clemson, Joe Galbraith at Clemson, said he did not buy any vehicle from that dealership. Nothing. I thought, man, maybe he went in and bought a reasonable car, and that's that. He was just standing beside the McLaren Spyder, but he didn't buy that one. So no, I didn't buy
any. If you're Clemson, are you also calling the NCAA right away?
You probably report
that.
Oh,
I would imagine so. Yes, quickly.
You probably do, just to make sure that they have your side of the story early.
Yes.
Clemson said that the picture was used without T. Higgins' permission, that his eligibility is certainly not impacted at all. And, you know, rightfully so. It's just a bad decision to put that kind of picture up with that kind of caption, right?
Yes, it is. And I would imagine now it's a life lesson, a moment of teaching opportunity for the Clemson football staff with T. Higgins that, hey, you just can't be taking those type of pictures. Even though he didn't consent to it, had no knowledge that he was going to post that, but there's certain pictures you probably can and can't take, and that's one he needs to avoid.
Well, as far as that goes, I mean, with Photoshop and everything, I mean, they can't not take pictures with people. I mean, that's part of the
deal.
I'm
not saying that you can't not.
You could superimpose anything you want with a player if you try hard.
But they didn't. That's the problem.
I know.
It was real. A real picture, anyway.
Still, what was he doing there?
Well, he test drove according to Scott Kiefer's article in the Greenville News, he test drove a Dodge Charger, and he also got a ride in the McLaren. His mother posted on her Twitter account, he did not purchase a car. He doesn't even have a job. And she said, there's no way I could ever afford it. I still rent my house. Then she took that post down.
All I know is that car looks sweet. I don't want to ride in it. I want to drive it.
Yeah, I would want to drive it, too.
You can offer a ride all you want. No thanks. Let me drive it. That's a totally different story.
It was just a little over-ambitious tweeting by the dealership, right?
I mean, yes.
They had a celebrity there, sports celebrity, and they thought it was cool, and they were showing off a little bit.
Well, and I wonder if there was also a little bit of apprehension, too, because if you notice on the tweet how you can tag somebody – T. Higgins was not tagged, and they also did not include his Twitter handle in the tweet. It just said T. Higgins.
Yeah.
So, you know, a lot of times it'll become even more public or more seen more readily once you use somebody's
handle. Sure, because he has all those
followers,
I'm
exactly.
sure.
Exactly, that's right.
Big-time athlete.
And the dealership didn't do that, but they still wanted it out there.
Yeah. Yeah, and in a misleading way, I would say. So, interesting, but as it turns out, no problem.
Do we know anything about the dealership, that guy, his allegiance?
Oh, his fandom?
Yes.
The salesman?
That's right.
No, I don't know that we
wonder
do.
If he's,
you think he's trying to get him in trouble?
Well, I wonder, hey, is he a South Carolina grad or is he some other school
really,
grad?
Really, you had to go there.
Of course I did.
I think Ray Tanner
it would
made
be
this
the
happen.
Other way around.
I think Ray Tanner did
I think
this.
You're absolutely right. I think it was Ray Tanner.
You know it would be the other way around. People would question the same thing.
No, I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, exactly.
I've never heard or seen anything like that. I think you're making it up.
Right. The guy that was in the picture, or a guy with the dealership, said, our plan was not to create a negative. As a business, you want to let social media work for you, and we thought it was a good place for publicity. Instead, it turned into a failed publicity stunt. We certainly didn't want to get the young man in trouble. It's something innocent that went crazy. T didn't mind it, and he knows our heart was in the right place. Okay.
Well, just take a picture of you and T, like, in the office or something.
Yeah.
You don't have to be standing beside that car.
Yeah. Yeah. No, don't.
But he's trying to show off his dealership. And in all reality, I do think it was just a situation where he did want to get some type of publicity.
Sure.
Didn't realize the ramifications and how the dominoes would fall once he put that out there.
Well, I just got to say, you know, if I was in the market to buy a car like that, now I know where to go. I wouldn't have known before.
So the publicity is working.
I don't know if I would go to there to buy a McLaren Spyder
for
$200,000.
Besides, you already have a red sports car.
Oh, yes. You're already through your midlife crisis.
I said if. So I think maybe the publicity stunt may have worked. We'll see if it gets more business out of it.
I was reading about it. Do you notice you get more attention from police in your red Camaro, your new shiny red Camaro?
Well, I drive the speed limit at all times, so no. I do see I'm eyed by everyone. Thank you for telling everybody exactly what color it was and what it is.
I think you already did that.
Yeah, you did. Day
did
one.
I don't think I did, but that's fine. But yes, I do get noticed quite a bit. Unfortunately, I get noticed by other drivers who decide to veer into my lane while they're looking at it.
Mm.
Well, and you probably have some macho guys come up to you at the red light, ready to
race. I am mature and older, and I don't do such things.
Okay. But years ago, you would have partaken in that.
There's no wood. I did.
You did? Okay.
I saw it on the internet yesterday. Made me think of you about somebody asked, do guys in red cars get pulled more than other cars, red sports cars? And the answer was no in this story, whether it's accurate or not. And it said that one of the most pulled over cars is a Toyota Camry.
It's a Toyota Camry also is the, I believe, is still the most stolen car.
Yeah.
So that may have something to do with why they get pulled over.
No wonder my son is wanting to get rid of his Toyota Camry.
They're really popular at the Chop Shop, from what I understand.
So. He's tired of it. He calls it his grandmother car.
And I almost didn't get it. Well, I didn't want a red sports car because I thought that was true, too. I've always heard that.
Mm-hmm.
That cops pull over red sports cars.
So far, so good.
Yeah.
But now they're watching for you.
Yeah.
You're welcome.
You know.
He was all about talking about his car when he just had it. Now he's telling us not to talk
about it. Yeah, now he's like, shh, don't say anything about it.
All right. 844-GSP-ESPN. Text line 71307. Be right back. This is The Huddle on ESPN Upstate. We're back in The Huddle, ESPN Upstate. It's Tuesday afternoon with GMAC Richmond. Lonzo, 844-477-3776. If you want to talk about the Gamecock baseball season that has just concluded as of last night with their super regional loss in Fayetteville, Arkansas. We'll talk about the NBA offseason, Major League Baseball, whatever it is, we're here for you. Just give us a call, 844-477-3776. NBA News, Nick Nurse is the new coach at Toronto. He was an assistant there, the Toronto Raptors. Nurse is finalizing contract terms with Toronto. He met with the president and the general manager this morning to accept the job. Nick Nurse is 50 years old. Of course, he replaces Coach of the Year, Dwayne Casey. You know, I don't know if I'm Nick Nurse. Yeah, you take the job, but man, there's a lot of down where you could go as opposed to a lot of up, you know, in that place.
There's only down right now.
Yeah.
There's no upside, obviously, based on how the situation ended in Toronto. I mean, they were number one seed in the East, won a record 61 games for that franchise. And we know that both DeRozan and Kyle Lowry, they're another year older.
Yep.
And are they going to be able to put together another season like that and now contend with a healthy Boston Celtics team in the East, and we know Philadelphia is on the rise.
League's getting better, yep.
Yeah, and I just, and even from the Toronto organization, just promoting from the staff that they didn't think was good enough.
After firing the coach of the year.
Yes.
It's odd.
It doesn't make any sense to me. I thought for sure, but it ended a few days ago when Jerry Stackhouse was named an assistant coach with the Memphis Grizzlies, but I thought Jerry Stackhouse was going to get that job. He had been an assistant with Toronto, but he had left and was getting at least head coaching experience in the G League in Toronto's kind of minor league system, their G League team, and I thought that would have been a good opportunity for them to bring in a former player, been assistant, at least got some head coaching experience.
Right.
Now, Nick Nurse, he doesn't have any head coaching experience and is very limited experience in the NBA.
No, but he was successful in the G League. He has six seasons in the G League as a head coach, won two championships, and he was coach of the year. But, you know, the G League ain't the NBA. So, yeah, who's gonna have the better 5 years or so? Dwayne Casey at Detroit or Nick Nurse in Toronto? Yeah. More talent.
Well, yeah, he's got more talent in Toronto. I think Dwayne Casey has proven he's a better coach.
Mm-hmm.
But
it's all upside for him. He can go in there and turn that around, get them going, and be a hero, right?
What do you consider? I think it depends on where LeBron goes.
It's not going to either one of those.
No, what I mean is they're going to end up being second place to whatever team he's going to be at in the East. So do you consider that success or not?
Well, why do you think he's going to the East?
I said if.
If
I
think he goes
I,
to
I
the East.
I said if.
If he goes
He may
to the
not
East.
Be going anywhere. He may be staying where he is.
Yeah,
and, then, and then if he does, or if he stays in the East, both those teams are vying for number two.
Well, that's fine, but one will be better than the other. That's all I'm asking. Who will have the better 5 years or so? Detroit or Toronto? I think Toronto's coming down.
I think so, too. I think there's a better opportunity in Detroit. I think they'll better be in position for free agency as well. Although, in my opinion, both organizations are probably relatively dysfunctional. Detroit's probably more dysfunctional than Toronto, but based on what Toronto just did with firing Dwayne Casey and then just promoting somebody on Casey's staff just doesn't make a whole lot of sense
you don't think
to me.
Casey can clear up the dysfunction in Detroit?
He might be able to help combat some of the dysfunction, but a lot of times when an organization is so bad, it doesn't matter who the head coach is. Because he's limited. He's handcuffed. When you've got an owner and general manager just making horrible decisions and if the culture's bad.
If he thought it was that bad, he wouldn't take the job, right? I mean, he must think he can be successful there.
Well,
he may be disillusioned. He may be delusional.
But it's also a job.
Yeah, I know, and he needed a job. But, I mean, I think Dwayne Casey could have had some other options, too, if he wanted to hang around.
Well, they picked up Blake Griffin, like, what, in the middle of the season?
They did.
And so they haven't had him for a full season. Right. If he could stay healthy, he's someone you can build around. They got Andre Drummond. They've got some good guys there in Detroit. And we know what they got in Toronto.
A lot of question marks, though, in Detroit. It's can Blake Griffin stay healthy? And is Blake Griffin a guy that you can build a team around? I don't think he's been able to prove that.
Right. A lot of people have that question about him.
Well, he was second fiddle for so long, and now you can see if he can. I mean, he can prove if he can, because I think he is the biggest star in Detroit right now.
Yeah, he is.
If they can win 60 games in Detroit, I think they won't fire Dwayne Casey. How about you?
No. They will keep him for a long time.
Yeah, I think you'll be all right. Thaddeus Young, Indiana Pacers forward. He is considering free agency. He's 29 years old. He may decline his $13.7 million player option for the next season, become an unrestricted free agent, according to ESPN sources. Got to make that decision in a couple of weeks. He has until June 29th. And he's looking for a longer-term contract because he's in the prime of his career at 29. He needs that now. Not going to get any easier as he gets into his 30s. The Pacers could choose to negotiate a contract extension with Young, who plays alongside center Miles Turner for that Indiana franchise. It's been pretty decent. Turner will be eligible for a rookie contract extension later this year. He was a leader on the Young Pacers team this year. They got the fifth seed in the Eastern Conference, and they pushed Cleveland to seven games in the first round of the Eastern Conference playoffs. All right, another break. We'll come back with more. Wrap up hour number one here in the huddle. 844-477-3776 is our number. Stay with us. Be right back in the huddle on ESPN Upstate. I feel like I've had a game to promote almost every night for the last 3 months, but not now. Although we're picking up some baseball later this week, we'll tell you about that. We're going to have Thursday night, Friday night, Saturday and Sunday Major League Baseball games because that's all that's left.
That's it.
That's now, it for a while.
The baseball purists are all excited now. They get their baseball and we get the doldrums.
We get nothing else, yeah. We are going to have the final best two out of three from the College World Series. Whoever the final two teams are, they'll play that best two out of three and we'll have that for you here on ESPN Upstate, but it will not feature a local team because we have none left. But other than that, baseball for a while. And then, like I said, once we get into August, we'll get fall practice going on. There'll be news coming out of Clemson, South Carolina. I'm not worried about August at all. But between now and the end of July, like that 6 weeks.
Free agency in the NBA, that's going to be a lot of discussion about LeBron. At least we've got the U.S. Open coming up.
Yep.
So the obvious talk about Tiger. Is he going to be able to be in contention for a major?
Got the NBA draft.
NBA draft,
you
know,
and as I tell you every year around this time, this would be a good time for you to get into MMA. Because they know and they ramp it up during this time. They know there's nothing else but baseball on. Mm-hmm. It'd be a good time for you to watch some of that.
Do they have more events this time of year in the MMA?
They seem to have more free events on Saturdays during this time.
Yeah.
I think they should all be free.
That would help.
Wouldn't it?
Yeah, I'm not into this pay-per-view thing.
No.
Don't like that.
I mean, I'm already struggling with how much you have to pay just to have access to cable.
No question. Or we can just go over to Lonzo's. He's got them all. We'll go watch them.
Yes, you could do that if you can find it.
On the hills, on the woods. You guys see the video of the young pitcher in Minnesota, high school pitcher?
I did.
This is a great story. His name was Ty Cohen, and he helped Moundsview High School reach the Minnesota State Championship in baseball. They sealed the clinching victory over Totino Grace. He struck out Jack Cocon, I guess, K-O-C-O-N, Cocon. Happened to be a childhood friend of the pitcher. And it's a great video. Look it up if you haven't seen it, Minnesota Baseball Championship, something like that. And you can find it. I'm sure it's all over the place. But, his teammates rushed to the mound when he struck the kid out for the final out. But he brushed them aside and ran down to the plate where the struck-out batter was just standing there, kind of dejected, and gave him a hug. And that thing has gone viral.
Yes, man. It has.
Gone viral. A lot of people said you couldn't watch it without crying. I didn't cry, but it was emotional to see him do that. And, kind of unusual. I think that's the thing in this day and age, where everybody's kind of in your face. We beat you. We're better than you. We want to put you down and all that. And this kid went beyond all that and went down, hugged his friend, which is pretty
cool. That's why it went viral, because this was so rare that we see this type of sportsmanship and emotion of, or delayed gratification, I should say, that he's going to console somebody rather than celebrating. And you just don't see that type of situation, especially in today's society. I shouldn't say it doesn't happen, but this was at least an example of video that's out there, and that's why it went viral.
And now he's famous, so it kind of works out for him for doing that. They were friends since they were 13. They were on the same little league team. They went to separate schools but kept in touch. And it came down to, that's tough, man, when it comes down to you against your buddy for the final out. But he struck him out. But it was great sportsmanship, and very impressive. And again, it's well worth looking up. If you haven't done that, you might want to check it out. Pretty cool. The news from Major League Baseball on Robinson Cano, we've talked about his long suspension. Seattle Mariners are still winning. They're 41-24. And they have started to think about what happens when Robinson Cano returns from the suspended list in August. He has an 80-game suspension for the joint drug agreement violations. And when Cano gets back on the field, they say it will not be as the full-time second baseman. How about that? That's a pretty good player to say that about.
That is significant. How can you keep that guy off the field?
Well, they picked up D. Gordon from Miami in an off-season trade. He started as the everyday center fielder. When Cano was gone, he took over at second base. And the general manager says Gordon has at least a partial claim to second base now. Because he's playing well.
He's playing well. He's earned it. So Cano has to beat him out, basically, is what he's saying.
So this is a guy you're paying $240 million. He may not be a starter when he comes back. 10-year, $240 million deal.
Yeah, there might be somebody in that organization that might have a problem with that.
Well,
even if they're winning.
You think? Got to play the best guy, though. Do you want to send a little message? Hey, don't do this anymore. Don't get suspended.
Oh, there's definitely, and you're reading between the lines. That's basically what he's saying.
I think
right
so
now.
Too.
He is setting the stage for that type of commentary.
The Mariners are winning just fine without Cano. They've won 17 out of their last 22 games, but they have a difficult stretch coming up. LA Angels. Then they play 10 straight games against the Boston Red Sox and the New York Yankees. Well, that will not be easy.
Could be a little bit different.
Yeah, it could be different. Look, Cano's going to get back on the field, but it's interesting that at this point, this early in that process, they're saying,
And it's still relatively early since the suspension. So there's probably still a little bit of these guys are mad at Cano for putting them in this position as well, because it's hurting the team overall. And I would think there's got to be a part of them like, you know, they're still rubbed the wrong way, and then that wound is still fresh right now.
All right, back on the other side here in the huddle for the 2 o'clock hour. We're going to hear what Stephen A. Smith says about LeBron James and where he should play next year. We'll update our World Cup soccer poll on Twitter. Are you going to watch? Get back into the College World Series as well, and even have a tweet of the day coming up. 844-477-3776 is our number. Text line 71307. It's Greg McKinney, Richmond Weaver, and Lonzo in the huddle. Back in a moment on ESPN Upstate.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.